And welcome to Cheesy Truth News. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming on. It is October 12th, 2023. There's a lot of crazy things going on. We have our special guest, as always, Dr. Jim Fetzer. Thank you for coming on, and please download us all. There's a lot of crazy things going on. They're really trying to ramp up World War III or something. Let us know what's going on.
Oh, it's my great pleasure, my friend. Well, we had the attack by Hamas. I got a Russian report where Hamas expanded a control zone. Shocking data, emphasizing that Hamas made to expand the control zone in an attempt to reach Hebron. The maps are as relentless, showing the Israeli army floundering for a second day. Russians congratulating whoever planned the operation as military intelligence. One of the head of the Russian think tank, Breitbart, pointed out, Hamas fighters managed to block several settlements in half a day, enter Zidro, where they occupied the building of the police station, in principle fulfilled the task of occupying a huge piece of territory as soon as possible. The Russian concluded by saying Hamas captured more territory in one day during its attack than the Ukrainian army has in 4 months of counterattack, considering both cases they were against a strong and prepared army. However, the reason to believe that all is not right. Paul Craig Roberts, for example, has written the Hamas attack on Israel is puzzling. I've heard the official explanation of Palestinian perfidy, but I don't have an explanation for the attack. It seems it would have to be more than that. I agree with the readers. It seems a curious thing for Hamas to do as it plays into Israel's hands. I also agree there's something strange about the attack. How did drones and so many rockets, allegedly from Iran, some say even Ukraine, get into the Gaza Strip? How did the Hamas attackers get into Israel? The Hamas attack is something of a 9/11 flavor. Just as every aspect of the national security state failed simultaneously on September 11th, Israel's security system, including the Iron Dome, simultaneously failed, mysteriously. Hamas fighters entered Israel on the ground, through the air, and the sea without being detected, mysteriously. Large quantities of weapons entered Palestine through Israel without being detected. This is too convenient failure to be believable. It will be interesting to see if anyone in Israel is held accountable for the total security failure. In the U.S., no one was held accountable, which should have told us a lot, indeed, that it was an inside job. Not knowing, we can but speculate. We have a motive. Israel can now steal the rest of Palestine. Another might be that Israel can expand the conflict into a wider war and succeed in grabbing water resources of southern Lebanon. It'd even get nastier if Israel moves against Syria and Iran. Oil prices could go sky high. A victorious war and end of the Palestinian problem would free Netanyahu from his legal and political problems. There's a lot to think about here. But what about the security failure that made the attack possible? Why would Bibi enable Hamas to attack Israel by standing down Israeli security? It seems a nonsensical suggestion, but it isn't, because it creates the conditions in which Israel can absorb all that remains of Palestine, just as 9/11 created the conditions for the neoconservatives to launch the wars they had planned in the Middle East. The difficult question is, why would Palestinians bring on their own destruction by attacking Israel when Hamas has no prospect of defeating Israel? It could be an Israeli operation from start to finish. Israel infiltrates Hamas, just as FBI infiltrate Trump supporters and patriotic groups, now called domestic terrorists. The Israeli agent play up to Israel's abuse of the Palestinians. Netanyahu helps them along by blowing up the sacred mosque. The agents come up with an attack plan made possible with weapons from Iran and devices from Iran to jam Israeli security. I don't say these suffice as the explanation, but I would not be surprised if these speculations prove to be closer to the truth than the official narratives. And there's a lot of video that raises suspicions. Meanwhile, on Israeli News Live, Israelis continue to speak out about the most hideous attack on Israeli soil in modern times unanimously. They all ask the same question. Where was the IDF? Without question, IDF would have fought gallantly had they been able to get to their fellow Jewish friends. But for some reason yet to be known, they were dispatched to the West Bank and other locations, leaving the Gaza Strip virtually unattended. We even have a woman blogger and former IDF member saying something is wrong, that the security on the fence is so exact and so thorough that even the presence of a cat at the barrier brings about a massive response. Meanwhile, Veterans Today has published an intel drop by a former CIA agent. Hamas-Israel fighting likely a false flag to wipe Gaza off the map. Hamas launched Operation Al-Qasa Storm early Saturday, October 7th, led by Hamas military chief Mohammed Deif. The same day, Bibi confirmed a so-called state of readiness for war. Military operations are invariably planned well in advance. Was Operation Al-Qasa Storm a surprise attack? U.S. intel say they weren't aware of an impending Hamas attack. Here's an interesting piece by Michael Chesedovsky, director of the Center for Research on Globalization and former CIA counterterrorism agent, Philip Buraldi, executive director of the Council for the National Interest. These guys are about as good as it gets. Is the Gaza-Israeli fighting a false flag? They let it happen. Their objective to wipe Gaza off the map? One would have to be almost hopelessly naive to buy the corporate state media line that the Hamas invasion was an Israeli intel failure. Mossad is one of, if not the, most powerful intelligence agencies on the planet. Did Bibi and his vast military intelligence apparatus have foreknowledge of the attack, which had resulted in countless deaths of Israelis and Palestinians? Was it carefully formulated as Israeli plan to wage an all-out war against Palestinians and envision prior to launching by Hamas of Operation Al-Qasa Storm? This was not a failure of Israeli intelligence as conveyed by the media. Quite the opposite. And now, of course, we have a preposterous situation. This is the Israeli leader's wet dream of a joint U.S.-Israeli operation to rescue the 150 hostages. Delta Force SEAL Team 6 and Shayette Hurricane entering the heart of Gaza. SEAL Team 6, of course, was used in the raid on the compound in Pakistan that allegedly resulted in the death of Osama bin Laden. That raid, however, was completely fabricated and faked. Osama had actually died a decade earlier on 15 December 2001, where he was buried in an unmarked grave in Afghanistan in accordance with Muslim tradition. From his medical maladies, it's tough to get dialysis machines in and out of those caves in Afghanistan. He was actually also our man in Afghanistan, instrumental in getting Stinger missiles into the hands of the Mujahideen, which they used to shoot down Soviet helicopters and planes and drive them out of the country. He was actually an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman, where an official from the agency visited him in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his demise. Fox News and CNN both picked up the news and reported it on 26 December 2001 that Osama bin Laden was dead. But Barack Obama found it politically expedient to resuscitate the body and have him die all over again so he could pose as the man who got the most wanted man in the world for his triumphal re-election. Meanwhile, Turkey's President Erdogan accuses the U.S. of planning to carry out massacres in Gaza. Erdogan is now accusing the U.S. of planning a genocide, even though he himself denies the Armenian genocide, which I'm sorry to say was all too real. What will the U.S. do with all its boats and aircraft around this ship? He'll carry out a very serious massacre by striking all of Gaza and its surrounding, dropping bombs, Erdogan said from Ankara on Tuesday. Meanwhile, Israel has imposed a complete siege on Gaza, cut off electricity, fuel, food, water ahead of the ground drop. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant announced a complete siege of Gaza on Monday. This is absolutely outrageous. This is a form of collective punishment that is precluded by international law. This is a war crime. This is a crime against humanity. It's being done right out there in front of everyone. Outrageous. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant announced a complete siege, including a ban on the admission of food, water, electricity, and fuel. This move is seen as Israel's retaliation against Hamas, following their latest attack on the country in decades. Notice, food, water, electricity, fuel. Remember the rule of three. A human being can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. This is the commission of a genocide in front of the eyes of the world. Approximately 3,000 rockets have been launched into Israeli territory. Terrorists infiltrated Israel border and civilians, including children and families. But we're getting absolutely ridiculous attacks about it. The beheading of babies, nonsense. Attacking a music festival near the border that's supposed to resonate with what happened in Las Vegas. But I guarantee I have done Las Vegas. It was a movie. They played a soundtrack pre-recorded over the amplifier system at the concert and had special visual effects of lights flashing in synchronization with the sound to make it appear as though machine guns were being fired from the center of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, even though we have this in video, in spades. The sheriff of Clark County denies any shots. There's evidence of any shot being fired other from the 32nd floor. But actually, when the SWAT team went in there, they found the windows were not even blown out. The whole thing was a fraud. Meanwhile, Israel doesn't care about collateral damage or using bunker busters in Gaza. This is very troubling. Plumes of smoke are freaking as the Israeli bombardment of the Gaza Strip continues for a third day. Blocked by land and air, the enclave has a labyrinth of tunnels, Gaza's lifeline, bringing everything from food and weapon to fuel. They act as storage and essential portals for the Palestinian armed group. At present, there are unverified reports the Israeli military has targeted the tunnels in northwestern Gaza, deploying a powerful type of bomb known as bunker busters. Now, mind you, the Palestinians have declared they have hostages, perhaps 150 or more. They're keeping them in the tunnels. So if the Israelis are using these bunker busters, they're running a high risk of killing the hostages. Meanwhile, Palestine also accuses Israel of using banned phosphorus bombs. Well, they're going to commit genocide anyway, which is already a violation of international law. Why not use white phosphorus, even though it too is banned under the laws of war? In Gaza, over 1,000 buildings have been destroyed. 123,000 have been displaced by the Israeli bombing. It's devastating what's happening in Gaza. Israeli's bombardment has dealt a significant blow to civilian infrastructure. I repeat, collective punishment of a population for actions of a few is banned by international law. This is a war crime. They're doing it deliberately and openly. Some 13 residential buildings with 159 housing units have been destroyed, about 1,210 partially damaged, 36 uninhabitable, more than 123 Gazans have been displaced. No longer is it reported in the news that the homes of helpless civilians are being bombed by Israeli occupying forces. In Gaza, the occupation is in charge of everything. Here we have quite a fascinating report I want to share on Stu Peters with a fellow who's talking openly about the fraud that's taking place here, how this is clearly a false flag attack to enable Israel to wipe out Gaza in a mass genocide.
Well, first of all, I will just make a point about the disinformation. I've actually been amazed at the level of disinformation that's been going around on Twitter coming from these Zionist figures. You know, in some ways, I'm optimistic. Like, we're kind of doing away with the mainstream media, social media is becoming popular. But then you see a lot of the same figures are able to take control of social media. Just in the last couple of days, I saw this guy, Ian Miles Chung, he puts out a video. He says Hamas is going house to house murdering families. The video he posted was of the Israeli Defense Forces. There was this video that was supposedly kidnapped Israeli children in cages. That was actually a years old video of Palestinian children. So we're getting all this crazy atrocity propaganda. It's very reminiscent of all the old lies, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Supposedly, you know, when the first Iraq war kicked off, supposedly Saddam Hussein was killing Kuwaiti babies in incubators. And everyone believes this stuff. And we look back on that and we say, how did people fall for such obvious lies designed to cook up support for war? But here it is on social media being spread by these so-called influencers who have their own special interests. And people are buying it again, hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, we were supposed to believe that, you know, Osama bin Laden from somewhere in some cave in some shithole country somewhere planned out this miraculous 9/11 attack where we brought down these towers and the plane crashed into the Pentagon, and it was done by low IQ people that had virtually no training at all, but they were able to pull off these military-style maneuvers in large aircraft with advanced navigation systems and understand all of the avionics when they learned how to fly in a Cessna somewhere. It's really difficult to believe. And now we're supposed to believe that despite having the Iron Dome, thousands of rockets successfully landed inside of Israel, despite having one of the most secure borders of any country on the face of the planet, these people were allegedly able to get in through tunnels and hang gliders and crossing into the country. First time since 1967's Six-Day War. Why are we supposed to believe all of this? I mean, how are these people credible?
Right. Well, if you ask any questions, if you say, is there any evidence that there are hundreds of people being raped and hundreds of children have been kidnapped, you get called a terrorist sympathizer. Look at this video of a dead person, or we don't know when this video is from or who it's even of, or maybe it's Palestinian children instead of Israelis. It's the exact same stuff we saw. If you question, does Saddam actually have weapons of mass destruction, you're a terrorist sympathizer. You know, it's incredible. I thought we'd kind of made ground against these neocons, this neocon agenda. And yet all the same tactics come back again. As far as how it ends, I mean, you know, you bring up an interesting point. Like, this is one of the most heavily surveilled, heavily militarized area in the world. It is an open air prison camp. It's 2 million people in Gaza. It's 5 miles wide. It's the most densely populated area in the world. It is interesting, the fact that they were able to pull off this attack so successfully. There's certainly a credible case that Israel may have had foreknowledge of this and may want something like this, that they can again gin up Western support, that they can go now guns blazing into that region and, you know, just bomb the hell out of it with no care in the world for civilian casualties. And you're seeing that be prepared, like you mentioned, Laura Loomer, all these figures on Twitter that, like I said, it's extreme in the conservative movement if you're anti-replacement migration. They're all preparing the ground the last couple of days, saying Israel needs to wipe these people out, totally flatten Gaza, civilian bombings. The people deserve it, you know, justifying bombing children. And it's certainly set up in a way now that Israel could really benefit with all of this Western support and with expanding further into this region and taking on its enemies.
Yeah. Israel benefiting by murdering other people. I mean, since when is it an America first position to say we should just go bomb anybody? I think we should be bombing nobody, despite the fact that there was this poll on Twitter. Which country do you think that the United States should bomb next? 86% of the respondents, with over 7,000 people polled, said Israel. Why is Israel losing such support from Americans all of a sudden?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. I mean, like I said, unfortunately, a lot of these neocon narratives still get out there because the big influencers are controlled. But at the same time, you have social media, you have this communications technology that allows people to get their own narratives out there. And we're able to spread things like the USS Liberty, which Israel bombed, knowing that it was a U.S. ship. The person that was firing the missiles communicated to his commander, pointing out it was a U.S. ship. He was told to go ahead with it anyway. We're able to spread this kind of information. We're able to spread the very interesting information about potential Israeli foreknowledge of 9/11 and so on. And I think a lot of the old excuses for why the U.S. has to support Israel, why it's so in their national interest, they don't really stand up to any kind of scrutiny. You know, the idea that Christians have some kind of obligation, maybe that can work as an excuse when you have complete control of the media. But when someone can go on Telegram or Twitter and can see videos of how Christians are treated in the Holy Land and how they get spat on by these Jewish settlers, and now we can see Christian churches being blown up with no regard by the Zionist entity, at that point it becomes a much harder sell.
Well, Israel is our greatest ally, of course. Where does this come from?
Well, very clearly, the Jewish lobby in the U.S. is what drives this against public opinion. In the lead up to the Iraq war, James Petras, the sociologist, writes about this. He documented over 2,000 journal articles, newspaper articles, submissions made to committees and the government and so on that were in support of the Iraq war. You know, we get this myth of the war for oil, all this kind of thing, but it has been the Jewish lobby driving this. And that's not some extremist anti-Semitic position. The most credible, the most influential scholar in international relations, John Mearsheimer's book, The Israel Lobby, that documents the exact same thing, that the U.S. has given all of this foreign aid, not just Israel, but countries like Egypt and bordering countries, basically to buy their support for Israel and to enforce peace treaties. And these international relations scholars themselves say, you know, there's really no explanation for this except capture by these lobby groups. I mean, Barack Obama, maybe neither of us are fans of him, but it's in his memoir. He said in his memoir, you know, well, I tried to take kind of a moderate position on Israel-Palestine, but the problem was everyone was scared that the Israel lobby was going to throw piles of money at them and get them to lose their seat. So it's kind of an open secret. I think it's kind of obvious at this point. I think the only reason people don't speak about it is precisely because they have so much power. They're scared.
I think you got it exactly right. Meanwhile, the prime minister has formed a coalition that has been very beneficial for Bibi. Wisconsin State Journal reported this morning, Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu joined with a top political rival Wednesday to create a wartime cabinet, overseeing a fight to avenge a weekend attack by Hamas militants. In the sealed-off Gaza Strip ruled by Hamas, Palestinians suffering mounted as Israeli bombardment demolished neighborhoods and the only power plant ran out of fuel. Again, collective punishment. This is a war crime. This is a violation of human rights. The new cabinet established a degree of unity after years of bitterly divisive politics as the Israeli military appears increasingly likely to launch a ground offensive into Gaza. The war has already claimed at least 2,300 lives. Israeli government under intense public pressure to topple Hamas after its militants stormed through a border fence Saturday and massacred hundreds of Israelis in their homes on the streets and at an outdoor music festival, or so we have been told. In a televised address Wednesday night, Bibi detailed alleged atrocities, the vast majority of which were all fabrications, that took place during the attack. Every Hamas member is a dead man, he said. We will crush and destroy it. This is a no prisoners policy. This is a violation of international law. Absolutely outrageous. Meanwhile, former Hamas leader Khalid Marshall calls for a global display of Palestinian anger on Friday, tomorrow. Former Hamas chief Khalid Marshall gave a speech Tuesday encouraging Muslims and Palestinians supporters to display their anger and begin pro-Palestinian demonstration while begging for donations for Hamas to continue its war with Israel. He primarily aimed his speech at those living in the Arabic and Islamic world, encouraging them to head to the squares and streets of the Arab and Islamic world on Friday. Tribes of Jordan, sons of Jordan, brothers and sisters of Jordan, this is a moment of truth. The borders are closed to you. You all know your responsibility. He addressed all who teach and learn jihad or Muslim holy war. To all scholars who teach jihad, to all who teach and learn, this is a moment for the application of theories. According to Moroccan TV host Rashad Hemari, brother Rashad, who watched his speech, Marshall made 4 points. First, Muslim countries need to show anger, but also including the Muslim diaspora around the world calling a Friday of Al-Aqsa Blood. Second, ask for donation for Muslims around the world to help the fighters of Gaza, calling it a financial jihad. Third, encourage Muslim leaders in Asia to put political pressure on Israel to stop the invasion of Gaza. Fourth, Umami noted this being the most important point. All Muslims carry jihad by their soul to fight and be martyrs for Al-Aqsa. An encouragement for Muslims to fight Jews in Middle Eastern countries and urge for Mujahideen to go in long caravans to spill their blood on the land of Palestine. He predicted it would have an effect all over the world. Friday may get dangerous for people in Arab countries, but also in the UK and America. He doesn't anticipate Muslims showing up at the border of Israel to carry out jihad. However, he did predict possible terrorist attacks next Friday or even before in European countries and the U.S. against Jewish targets and also American. He predicts protests in Muslim countries and Western countries led by Islamists showing rage by acts of violence and destruction and possible attacks against Americans and Jews in some of the Muslim countries. He predicts no one will show up at the border of Israel to carry jihad. Well, you can hope they don't come true and there'll be no additional violence. There's a very real danger. Radicals will take his message to heart and begin terrorist attacks on innocents, including in the United States. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin has observed U.S. policy in the Middle East obviously failed. The U.S. abandoned international instruments and proposed its own solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which has now been exposed as a complete failure, Russian President Putin said Wednesday. The fact is, this is a failure, is now obvious. He told TV channel Al Gaad on the sidelines of the Russian Energy Week International Forum. The U.S. practically moved away from previous international instruments to resolve this problem, which included Russia and other countries, to practically monopolize the settlement process. At some point, the Palestinian Authority had to make a number of quite serious statements to make it clear it was not ready to agree to the principles the U.S. proposed. This was primarily due to Israel's policy on settlements. Further, settlers have taken Palestinian homes, they've poisoned their wells, they've destroyed their olive groves, they have shot their kids with impunity for sport. Moscow's position has always been clear, understandable, and transparent, with Russia telling both the Palestinians and Israelis necessary to implement the previously adopted decisions of the UN Security Council to create an independent, sovereign Palestinian state, as was originally envisioned during the creation of Israel. The issue is a complex and sensitive one. Everyone should refrain from inflammatory statement and minimize casualties among civilians. Another priority, prevent the conflict from expanding, since it would have implications globally, not just in the region. Very, very serious. Meanwhile, some have observed what, among them, other reasons why Biden welcomes these development. Hunter is out of the news. Border is out of the news. Ukraine is out of the news. Speaker drama out of the news. Biden crime family out of the news. Worldwide illegal immigrant invasion out of the news. Horrible economy out of the news. Now, do you get it? Figures like Marjorie Taylor Greene, by the way, have rather naively assumed support for Israel would be obvious. She's published, but she has been savagely attacked by real Americans. Let us never forget Israel's attack on the USS Liberty of 8 June 1967, when they killed 34 Americans and injured 174, not to mention 9/11, which was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the DOD, and the Mossad. This was an operation to bring about a motive for Americans to come into the Middle East to attack the modern Arab state that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and is eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran. Israel is not our enemy. Israel wants to use America for its own benefit, not a reason why I have been told in a satirical vein, Israeli national anthem is Onward Christian Soldiers.
Well, things are definitely getting heated up here. It's the situation is pretty dire. So, what can I say? We got to be forever optimistic on this thing, and something's got to give. Have you heard of a guy named Norman Finkelstein or Finkelstein?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a really good report on that. I mean, he was like a former 20-year, you know, tenured professor, and you know, he studied this whole thing for a long time, and he's got a lot of things to say about it. And pretty much, you know, it's crazy. You know, thank you for that download, Jim. And you know, as America First, you know, we really got to figure out what we want to do here, whether we want to just keep sending a bunch of stuff down there or just let them handle it.
But let me just say, since Israel was created 75 years ago, the unjust treatment of the Palestinian people has been a major human rights issue confronting planet Earth. I believe this is going to galvanize world opinion against Israel. I do not believe this is going to play out the way Bibi had it planned. I believe the consequences are going to be devastating. And you saw that poll that Peters was alluding to, Stu Peters, where 1,000 were asked which country should the United States bomb next, and like 90% were reporting it should be Israel. I think the Biden admin, the neocons have all miscalculated. World sentiment has changed. And this is going to only reinforce anti-Israel and indeed anti-American sentiment worldwide.
Yeah, it definitely appears that way. And, you know, no matter what, I think the truth will prevail. So whatever false flags they're all trying to do, whoever's trying to do, I think it's all going to come out in the light. That, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. So, thank you for that report. And, you know, meanwhile, we have over $33 trillion in debt here in our own country. Inflation's rampant. All this stuff is crazy. And like you said, you know, the gas is probably going to go even higher, especially if we go into the war. I don't know if you mentioned Dubai. You know, there's reports are saying like Dubai, Iran, they're all trying to, I don't know if they're all going to start the war, join in on the war effort, or what's going on over there. But, you know, Israel declared war, so there's definitely a war going on there, right?
The potential for World War III, multi-nations involving some of the most powerful in the world, is greater now because of this false flag effort to destroy Gaza than ever before, in my judgment, in world history. Remember, for the Israelis, the ultimate solution to the Palestinian problem has always been to load all the Palestinians aboard a ship, float it out to sea, and sink it. They're now doing the same with a ground-based invasion. Stand by. The situation is going to get a whole lot worse, and let us only hope the world survives.
Yep, that's right. God bless this planet, and hopefully we're going to fix all this real quick. So thank you very much, Jim, and we'll be paying attention closely on all this. So thank you. God bless, and let's all keep in touch.
My great pleasure.
Thank you. Take care.